In the 5th century, as the once mighty Roman Empire crumbled, the soft underbelly of Western Europe lay invitingly exposed to the barbarian hordes to the east. Alaric the Visigoth, Geiseric the Vandal, and Theodoric the Ostrogoth, in turn, swept westward in a reign of terror. But none surpassed in power and cruelty the mighty Attila the Hun.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Attila the Hun Show!
With a little love, just a little open your heart and see where it's needed. With a little love, just a little love, feel it in your heart when you succeeded. Making all the sadness of life, get the sunshine in your life. Making all the clouds roll by, get the sunshine in your life. And you can lie and light up the darkest night. But a glorious day, chase all your cares away. With a little love, just a little love, with a little love.
In the second quarter of the 5th century, the Huns became a byword for merciless savagery. Their Khan was the mighty warrior Attila. With his devastating armies, he swept across Central Europe.
Oh, darling, I'm home!
Hello, darling. Have a busy day at the office?
Not at all bad. Another merciless sweep across Central Europe.
Well, I won't say I'm glad to see you, but boy, am I glad to see you. Hi, Daddy.
Hi, Jenny. Hi, Robbie. Hey, I've got a present for you two kids in that bag. I want you kids to get ahead.
Yeah, Mr. Horn!
Hi, Uncle Tom.
There's a whole horde of them marauding Visigoths to see you.
And now for something completely different.
Monty Python's A Flying Circus.
Who took a vow of eternal brutality?
Nurse? Hello, Miss Norris. How are you?
Not too bad, thank you, Doctor.
Yes, well, I think I'd better examine you.
What are they doing here?
It's all right, they're students. Light, please, Nurse. Oh, and music. Two. Breathe in. Out. In. Out. In.
Thank you, Charles Crompton, the stripping doctor. And next, gentlemen and ladies, here at the Feeball Club for the very first time, a very big welcome, please, for the Secretary of State for Commonwealth Affairs.
Good evening. Tonight, I'd like to restate our position on agricultural subsidies and their effect on our Commonwealth relationships. Now, although we believe there is an ending guaranteed farm crisis, we also believe in the need for a corresponding import levy to maintain consumer prices at a realistic level. But this would have the effect of consolidating our gains of the previous fiscal year prior to the entry. But I pledge that should we join the common market, even maintaining the present position of subsidy, we will never jeopardize, we will never compromise our unique relationship with the Commonwealth countries. A price structure related to any import charges will be systematically adjusted to the particular requirements of our Commonwealth partners, so that together we will maintain a positive and mutually beneficial alliance in world trade and for world peace. Thank you and good night.
Secretary of State for Commonwealth Affairs. And now, gentlemen and ladies, a very big welcome, please, for the Grand Minister of Pensions and the Social Security.
Yes, today in Britain, there is a new wave of interest in politics and politicians.
Well, we're in it for the lobbying, you know. Just love lobbying.
And the debates. You know, a good debate is just fabulous.
Well, I've been going with ministers for 5 years now, and, you know, I think they're wonderful.
Oh, yes. I like civil servants.
Oh, yes, they're nice.
I like the speaker.
Oh, yeah.
I like Black Rod.
What do their parents think?
Well, she's broken our hearts, the little bastard. She's been nothing but trouble, and if she comes down here again, I'll kick her teeth in.
Have you been talking to television again, dear?
Yes, I've bloody told them.
What about?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, was it Reginald Bosanquet?
No.
Did he have his head all bandaged?
No, it wasn't like that. They had lots of lights and cameras and tape recorders, all that sort of thing.
Oh, that'll be Ray Baxter and the boys and girls from Tomorrow's World. Oh, I prefer Reginald Bosanquet. There's not so many of them. Oh, that'll be the rat catcher.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Concrete?
Yes!
Well, how very nice. Allow me to introduce myself. I'm Leslie Ames, the chairman of the Test Selection Committee. And I'm very pleased to be able to tell you that your flat has been chosen as the venue for the third test against the West Indies. No, it's just a little joke. Actually, I'm the council rat catcher.
Oh, yes, we've been expecting you.
Oh, I gather you've got a little rodental problem.
Oh, blimey, as they keep us awake all the night, scrabbling down by the wainscoting.
That's an interesting word, isn't it?
What?
Wainscoting. 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 Sounds like a little Dorset village. Wainscoting.
We've been mentioned on telly.
Where is it worst?
Well, down here, you can hear them.
Shh, 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 shh. No, that sheep you've got there. No, that's definitely a sheep. Bit of a puzzle, really.
Is it?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's A, not going to respond to a nice piece of cheese, and B, it isn't going to fit into a trap.
Ooh, what are you going to do?
Well, we'll have to look for the hole.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Oi! There's one here!
No, that's mice. Oh, this is what we're after.
Yeah. Excuse me, who's the third testing?
No, that was a joke. It's a joke. Right, well, I'm going in the wainscoting.
They said it again.
Lay down some sheep poison. Oh, it's got a gun. Now, normally a sheep is a placid, timid creature, but you've got a killer.
Hello,
an entirely new strain of sheep. A killer sheep that can not only hold a rifle, but is also a first-class shot.
But where are they coming from, Professor?
That I don't know. I just don't know. I really just don't know. I'm afraid I really just don't know. I'm afraid even I really just don't know. I have to tell you, I'm afraid even I really just don't know. I'm afraid I have to tell you that... Thank you. I don't know. Our only clue is this portion of Wolf's clothing which the killer sheep...
was wearing?
...in yesterday's raid on Selfridges.
I'll carry out test science straight away, Professor.
Hello, is it her test in here, please?
Professor, there are some cricketers in the laboratory.
This may be even more serious than even I had at first been imagining. What a strange... strange line. There's no time to waste. Get me the Chief Commissioner of Police.
Yes, sir.
Look up, fear!
Another strange line. Look out, Miss Carter Oil!
Professor, what is it? What have you seen?
Look, there, in the doorway.
Oh! Arthur X, leader of the Pennine Gang!
Nobody move. I want to put Plan A into operation. Bugsy, Lovely, move out. Next, Basil, you and the kid, move. Okay, boys, this time we go for the heavy stuff.
Soon the killer sheep began to infect other animals with its startling intelligence. Pussycats began to arrange mortgages. Cocker spaniels began to design supermarkets.
And parrots started to announce television programs. It's 8 o'clock and time for the news.
Good evening. Here is the news for parrots. No parrots were involved in an accident on the M1 today when a lorry carrying high-octane fuel was in collision with a bollard. That is a bollard and not a parrot. A spokesman for parrots said he was glad no parrots were involved. The Minister of Technology today met the three Russian leaders to discuss a £4 million airliner deal. None of them went in the cage or swung on the little wooden trapeze or ate any of the nice millet seed. Yum, yum. That's the end of the news. Now our programmes for parrots continue with part three of A Tale of Two Cities, specially adapted for parrots by Joey Boy. The story so far. Dr. Minette is in England after 18 years in the Bastille. His daughter Lucy awaits her lover Charles Darnay, whom we have just learnt is in fact the nephew of the Marquis de Saint-Evremond, whose cruelty had placed Minette in the Bastille. Darnay arrives to find Lucy tending her aged father. What's going on here is the news for Gibbons. No Gibbons were involved.
And while that's going on, here from Westminster is a parliamentary report for humans.
In the debate, a spokesman accused the government of being silly and doing not at all good things. The member accepted this in a spirit of healthy criticism, but denied that he'd ever been naughty with a choir boy. Angry shouts of "What about the watermelon, then?" were ordered by the speaker to be stricken from the record and put into a brown paper bag in the lavvy. Any further interruptions would be cut off and distributed amongst the poor. For the government, a front bench spokesman said the agricultural tariff would have to be raised, and he fancied a bit. Furthermore, he argued, this would give a large boost to farmers and a lot of fun to him, his friend, and Miss Moist of Knightsbridge. From the back benches, there were opposition shouts of postcards for sale and a healthy cry of who likes a sailor then from the minister without portfolio. Replying, the shadow minister said he could no longer deny the rumours, but he and the dachshund were very happy. And in any case, he argued, rhubarb was cheap and what was the harm in a sauna bath?
Were not involved. The Minister of Technology met the three Russian leaders today to discuss a £4 million airliner deal. None of them were indigenous to Australia, carried their babies in pouches, or ate any of those yummy eucalyptus leaves. Yum, yum. That's the news for wombats. And now, Attila the Bun.
Well, that's all for a tit of the bun. And now, idiots.
Arthur Figgis is an idiot, a village idiot. Tonight, we look at the idiot in society.
Well, I feel very keenly that the idiot is a part of the old village system and, as such, has a vital role to play in the modern rural society. Because, you see... Oh! Because there is this very real in society for someone whom almost anyone can look down on and ridicule. And this is the role. That
an ugly ramble, and the ugly, 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 thank you, Mr. Thompson.
This is the role that I and members of my family have fulfilled in this village for the past 400 years. Oh, good morning, Mr. Jenkins. I see I've increased the half-yearly dividend, I see.
Yes, splendid.
That's Mr. Jenkins. He's another idiot. And so, you see, the idiot does provide a vital psychosocial service for this community.
Oh, excuse me, a coach party's just arrived. I shall have to fall off the wall, I'm afraid.
Nagly, amble, ramble, ramble!
Arthur takes idioting seriously. He is up at 6 o'clock every morning working on special training equipment designed to keep him silly. And, of course, he takes great pride in his appearance. Like the doctor, the blacksmith, the carpenter, Mr. Figgis is an important figure in this village. And like them, he uses the local bank.
Yes, we have quite a number of idiots banking here.
What kind of money is there in idioting?
Well, nowadays, a really blithering idiot can make anything up to £10,000 a year if he's the head of some big industrial combine. But, of course, the more old-fashioned idiot still refuses to take money. He takes bits of string, wood, dead budgerigars, sparrows, anything. But it does make the cashier's job very difficult. But, of course, they're fools to themselves because the rate of interest over 10 years on a piece of moss or a dead vole is almost negligible.
Mr. Brando!
Yes?
Hollywood on the phone.
Take it in the office.
But Mr. Figgis is no ordinary idiot. He is a lecturer in idiocy at the University of East Anglia. Here, he is taking a class of third-year students. After 3 years of study, these apprentice idiots receive a diploma of idiocy, a handful of mud, and a kick on the head. But some of the older idiots resent the graduate idiot.
I'm a completely self-taught idiot. I mean, ooh-ah, 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 ooh-ah. Nobody does that anymore. Anybody who did that really would be laughed off the street. No, nowadays, people want something wittier.
Kevin Onassis works largely with walls.
Oh, you've got to know what you're doing. I mean, some people think I'm mad. Villagers say I'm mad. Tourists say I'm mad. Well, I am mad, but I'm naturally mad. I don't use any chemicals.
What of the idiot's private life? How about his relationship with women?
Well, I may be an idiot, but I'm no fool.
But the village idiot's dirty smock and wall falling are a far cry from the modern world of the urban idiot. What kinds of backgrounds do these city idiots come from?
I can't remember, but I think I've got it written down somewhere.
That is Bangkok. And he needed a waste beer vodka.
Well, all of them city there and more was on it.
The headquarters of these urban idiots is here in St. John's Wood. Inside, they can enjoy the company of other idiots and watch special performances of ritual idioting.
Well left.
Well played.
Well, well. Well played.
Good afternoon and welcome to Lords on the second day of the first test. So far today we've had 5 hours batting from England and already they are naught for naught. Cowdrey is not out naught, Norton is not in, Nott is in and is naught not out. Norton of Northend's got a nasty knock on the nut in the nets last night but it's nothing of note. Next in is Nat Newton of Nott's, not nutting, nutting's at nine. Nutting knocked neat in 19, knock, knock, now. Anyway, England have played extremely well for nothing. Not a sausage. In reply to Iceland's first innings total of 722 for 2 declared, scored yesterday disappointingly fast in only 21 overs with lots of wild slugging and boundaries and all sorts of rubbishy things. But the main thing is that England have made an absolutely outstanding start so far. Peter.
Splendid. Just listen to those thighs. And now it's the northeast turn with the samba.
Right.
Rather, I'm reminded of the story of Gubby Allen in 32.
Oh, shut up or we'll close the bar. And now Bo Vilderberg is running up to bowl to Cowdrey. He runs up, he bowls to Cowdrey. And no shot at all. Extremely well not played there.
Yes, beautifully not done anything about.
A superb shot of no kind whatsoever. I well remember Plum Warner leaving a very similar ball alone in 1732.
Oh, shut up, Plumnose. And now it's Bo Vilderberg running in again to bowl to Cowdrey. He runs in, he bowls to Cowdrey. And no shot at all. A superb display of inertia there. And that's the end of the over. And drinks.
Gin and tonic, please.
No, the players are having drinks. And now, what's happening? I think Cowdrey is being taken. Yes, Cowdrey is being carried off. Well, I never. Now, who's in next? It should be number 3, Nat Newton of Nott. Get your hand off my thigh, West. No, I don't think it is. I think it's the sofa. No, it's the Chesterfield. The green Chesterfield is coming in at number 3 to take guard now.
I well remember a similar divan being brought on at Headingley in 9 BC against the Darkies.
Oh, shut up, elephant snout. And now the green Chesterfield has taken guard and Iceland are putting on their spin dryer to bowl. The spin dryer moving back to its mark. It runs up to the wicket, bowls to the table. A little bit short, but it's coming in a bit there, and it's hit him on the pad! There's an appeal, and the table is out, leg before wicket. That is England, not 4-1.
And now we leave Lords and go over to Epsom for the 3 o'clock.
Well, here at Epsom, we take up the running with 50 yards of this mile and a half race to go, and it's the wash basin in the lead from W.C. Pedestal. Tucked in nicely, there's the sofa going very well with Joanna Sathcott's box making a good run from Hat Stand on the rails. And the standard lamp is fading fast, but it's wash basin definitely taking up the running now, being strongly pressed by W.C. at the post. It's the wash basin from W.C., then sofa, Hat Stand, standard lamp, and lastly, Joanna Sathcott's box.
Open the box! Open the box! Open the box! Open the box! Open the box!
Good evening, madam, and your name is?
Yes, yes.
And what's your name?
I'm Chuck McGray.
Jolly good, I see. And which prize do you have particular eyes on this evening?
Oh, I'd like to blow on the head.
The blow on the head.
Just there.
Jolly good. Well, your first question for the blow on the head this evening is, what great opponent of Cartesian dualism resists the reduction of psychological phenomena to physical states?
I don't know that.
Well, have a guess.
Henri Bergson
is the correct answer.
I've never even heard of him.
Jolly good.
I don't like darkies.
Who does? And now, your second question for the blow on the head is, what is the main food that penguins eat?
Pork luncheon meat.
No.
Spam?
No, 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 no. What do penguins eat? Penguins.
Penguins?
Yes.
They eat penguins?
No, no, no.
They eat themselves?
No, no, what do penguins eat?
Horses, armchairs.
No, no, what do penguins eat?
Oh, penguins.
Penguins.
Penelone.
No, no.
Lasagna. Moussaka. Lobster thermidor. Escalope de Ville Estragon avec ondies, mashed egg and cheese.
No, I'll give you a clue.
Oh, Brian Klaus.
No, no.
Brian English.
No,
Brian Johnson.
No. What swims in the sea and gets caught in nets?
Henri Bergson.
No!
And the water goes with snorkels and flippers.
No.
A buffalo with an aqualung.
No.
A vegetable gordlin.
Yes, that's near enough. I'll give you that right now. And Mrs. Scammer, you have won your prize. Do you still want the blow on the head?
Yes, yes.
I'll offer you a poke in the eye.
No, I want the blow on the head.
A punch in the throat?
No.
All right, then, a kick in the kneecap.
No.
Mrs. Scum, I'm offering you a boot in the teeth and a dagger up the strap.